Welcome to the RC New Podcast. This is episode 33, and I've got an old friend joining me virtually in the RC Noob studios tonight. You may have heard him. Hopefully you've heard him before on our show from years ago, and hopefully you're listening to his current show that he hosts along with Matthew Hausen over on the TSR Speed Shop podcast. I hope I got the name right. Mr. Tim Smith, welcome back to the show.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. This was, whether you know it or not, this was the birth of me really wanting to have a show, because I'd come on your show and I had so much fun. And I thought, how fun would it be to sit, you know, and get to talk about RC? And I thought, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I've been through over all these years that maybe would be of use to people. You know, I always find myself messaging people and answering questions. Why not just get out there on a little show where we can chat and goof around and stuff? And so, yeah, on your show was totally the inspiration for me to even do a show. So it's all your fault.
Well, thank you. I'll take that. I'll take that blame. It's great to have you back. Great to get a chance to catch up. It's been a while since we've actually spoken. We've exchanged quite a few messages and comments on Facebook over the...
How long has it been?
Yeah, a year and a half, maybe. Yeah. I more or less took last year off unintentionally. I just kind of forgot about the show and life took over. And
that's all right. We picked up your slack.
Things happened. Yeah, you did. And you did an amazing job.
You're back, Matt, so we can go away now.
No. We need more podcasts, more RC goodness. Yeah. But you and Matthew do a tremendous job. All the guests that you've had on are just amazing. I love listening to your show. So I think we'll get this mutual hug fest out of the way early and find out what you've been up to. It's been a while. You've been going fast lately.
Yeah, well.
Or trying to.
You know, I mean, I've been going fast a long time. I mean, that's kind of one of the early things I did. I did a lot of on-road way back in the very late 80s. And then I'm an old guy. And then I started doing a lot of oval. Oval became really popular in the very late 80s, early 90s out here in Southern California where I am. And I was out in an oval race one day and a guy brought out a dragster and I saw that. And so I kind of fell in love with that because I really like going fast. I mean, who doesn't like go really fast? And I went out and started doing drag racing and I did that for a long time. And I kind of started doing some speed running in there too. And that's kind of where it started, I'd say. I mean, gosh, since we've spoken, it's crazy how much stuff goes on. I mean, a year and a half ago, I think I'd run like the 24 hour and all that stuff. And really what I was doing was I'd gone out and gone speed and racing so much. And every time I was going out, essentially I was destroying the car. You know, the car had problems or, you know, it seemed like it was getting radio hits or whatever the issue was. But I mean, you would just trash cars. And after doing it just a bunch of times in a row, I was just really mentally beat up on it. And then, I mean, right then it was all about the race to 200 miles an hour. Me and Nick Case were, you know, trying to, you know, battling, I'd like to say, but he was well ahead of the ballgame of me. And he went like 196 or something like that. And the very next weekend I went out and destroyed both cars, and actually the parts of the car hit a guy that was with me. And so I was pretty dejected. So I thought, you know, I'm going to do some other stuff in RC because I really love RC and there's a lot of stuff to do. And so that's when I got into crawling and more of those kinds of things, you know, and switched over and started doing some other stuff just to kind of get out of that competitive world that I was in. And that's kind of the way it had been, you know, for the last year or so. I think I was just, you know, just messing around, just doing some crawling and all that. And then I'll tell you, I don't even know. It was maybe 3 or 4 months ago. I get an email to my racing account and TimSmithRacing@gmail. If you want to write me and ask me a question, go for it. And I get this email from a guy and he's like, hey, we're looking for Tim Smith. Want to know if you can put us in touch with him. I'm from this production company and we want to talk to him. So I'm like, sure. So I email him back, like, yeah, you know. And so we end up chatting, and they go, well, we were doing this TV show. They're really quiet about all the information. At first, like, I really didn't know what was going on for a long time. I was just doing it because it seemed like a pretty fun idea.
Sure.
But basically, they're like, yeah, we're going to do this TV show. We have this deal to make this new, like, kind of a reality show. And we wanted to do a thing where maybe you raced a Lamborghini with your RC car. Do you think it would beat it? And then I'm like, yeah, I mean, I could totally beat a Lamborghini. I mean, my drag cars will go 132 feet in, you know, 1.2 seconds, 1.3 seconds. I mean, there's not many cars. I don't think there's any street cars that can do that. And so I thought, yeah, that should be no problem at all. 120, 130 mile an hour, nothing. And so that was kind of the plan. And so we started, they said, well, they took me out to a couple of runways and, you know, they were looking at some places to do it. And that was kind of where it was. And they're like, okay, we want to come out to your house and we want to film for a couple of days and have you like building cars and that kind of thing, you know, get kind of like a little background piece on you. And I'm like, I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking, I tell my wife, I go, I don't know what this is. Cause at this point I'd only spoken in emails, you know, and I'd only met these two guys. They were kind of young kids. I mean, they were probably in their like early 20s. I think both of them are.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I met them out at a runway and we just walked around, looked at it. And that was kind of it, you know? So I told my wife, I go, I don't know if this is just like some college kids doing something or whatever. I really don't know. And I didn't really research it. I kind of just went along. I'll just go along with it, whatever. And so they're like, yeah, we're going to come out on this day. It was like some weekday. We're going to come out and we'll spend, you know, the day there and they'll come back the next day and do some other stuff. And so they tell me they're going to be at my house at 8 a.m. And at 8 a.m, this truck, this big like moving truck shows up in front of my house and a couple other cars and all these people start pouring out everywhere. Like there's just so many people. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? You know? And I walk out there and the two scraggly guys are there and they're like, hey man, you know, we're here. How you doing? All that. Here's some coffee. And they go, you know, so let's check out where we're going to shoot. And so we start going in the house and looking at the different rooms. And dude, they emptied my house and garage out in like 10 minutes. There wasn't a thing in our house. They took everything out. Like they just moved everything and put what they wanted where, and that was it. And so I'm standing out with this producer guy. Lo and behold, this skinny kid that's with me there that I meet, he's like the producer of this show. And I've come to find out that he's done a whole bunch of Top Gear episodes and worked on a few other big name shows like that. So he was no scraggly kid by any means. And so I'm standing out there talking with him and this car pulls up. And I live on like a cul-de-sac way up in the hills. Like, you know, unless you know someone up there, you aren't coming up where I live pretty much. And so this car shows up. So I know it must be one of these guys. And the guy gets out of his car and I look at him and I look at this producer guy. I go, that dude looks just like that Grant Imahara guy from Mythbusters. And he's like, it's because it is. And I'm like, what? And I look at him and I'm like, wait, okay, you need to come clean. What is going on? Like, what is this? What is happening? And so then he kind of starts explaining to me the show. And basically it's like a Mythbusters show. And Grant, Carrie, and Tori are like the hosts of it or whatever. And it's kind of based on different episodes. It seems like are based on different things. Like the episode I'm on is like about speed. And so it's just about things going really, it's kind of like extreme. And so I guess they go fine. I can only take my experience because I don't know what the other like topics or things are on my show.
Okay.
I think there's other ones, but I don't think I can say the network it's for, Netflix, but it you probably have to pay to see them. I don't know. I don't even know how it works, but it's some show that they're paying. It's their first reality show they're getting made, so it should be pretty exciting. And so basically they walk me through this whole thing. So we stand here, me and Grant build cars and we make a mold and pull a body and carbon fiber and then we go off and they get me into a wind tunnel and I get to run my cars in wind tunnels where I learn an unbelievable amount. And they bring in these two aerodynamic physicists. One guy, the main guy, I think the only guy they really filmed, he worked with Lance Armstrong or works with Lance Armstrong and like the Olympic team and Oakley. And like, he's, he's pretty badass, this guy. And so the real thing that I got out of it that was great was I got like a whole day in this wind tunnel before they came and shot. They had us go down and get everything set up. And we spent like, we were there till like 3 a.m. just running my car, all kinds of different configurations and things like that. And basically figured out that my car was not great in the air, believe it or not, huh? And so I kind of built this new car. And then we went up and we did some runs, but my rear tires failed. Like, I'm giving away the whole show and I don't want to do that because there was some excitement to it, I guess. And who knows how they're going to edit it all up. But basically, you know, that's how it all goes. And so I go out and make these attempts to try to break the Guinness World Record. And that was kind of it. It was just, you know, I mean, I don't know. Those things are crazy that happen sometimes. So, but I guess the part of that story I'll finish with is that they got me back into doing the speedrun thing because I'd really gone away from it and sure. had kind of quit on it. And, you know, the pressure of the show, I mean, I made cars and new designs and wheels and all this stuff in a matter of days to weeks, you know, whole entire molds and carbon fiber bodies. I mean, I don't know if everyone's seen the pictures of it. I'll give you some to throw up if you want. You know, it was ambitious. Like, I can't believe what I built in the time frame I was given. And the car has been, it's the best. I actually built two cars. They're both identical, but you know, for filming all that, you have to really keep rolling. And I always wanted to have one car that was in pieces and not broken in pieces in case something went wrong.
Sure.
For any shooting or anything they needed. But, I have never, I've never had two cars that worked as well as these cars do, and especially at speed. I mean, they are so stable and clean. Yeah, it's just right now now the show's over with. Now I'm running and I can put videos up and all that and show off my stuff. I'm trying to get to the 202 record. And the last time out, I managed to run 198. And so we're close.
Knocking on the door.
Yeah, the thing, too, is that the record was set up in, what's the city in Utah? I can't remember, but it's in Utah. And it's a runway up there. And that's actually, I've been up to that runway and ran for the show. We shot on the same runway that Nick set the record on.
Okay.
And sure. The runway's about 3,000 foot elevation. And what I found was, at least through these physicists, is that the elevation is a tremendous, tremendous gain in the speed game because of the thinner air. The physical drag of air on your car is very, very great at those kinds of speeds. And so to lessen it by going up an altitude is a tremendous amount. And so a run down here at like 182 miles an hour would be, I believe it was... 206 up there mathematically, the same run. So 198 down here could be, you know, above a 210 run in right. Utah. And my plan is to go up there and make my true record run up there. But I would really love to break the record down here at sea level where I run, just because I'd like to do it, because I think it's possible to do. And I don't think I need that altitude. I think I can get that speed out of the car. And so I really would like to. And there's a couple of guys that let me use this runway for years now. And so I would love to do it on their runway. Just, you know, that's my place. Like, that's a place where I've wrecked everything. And that's the place where the record should happen if it's going to happen. So,
sure. You've got a history there. And
yeah.
It only makes sense.
Yeah. So that's kind of the plan right now. But the car's really close. I'm just kind of tuning things. I mean, I really want to know that the car will go. Well over the record before I book this. I mean, I've got to rent this play. It's not free at all. it'll be a very expensive trip. I mean, I'm going to pay a lot to just have the opportunity to set this record really deep, but I might set it so deep that it, you know, may not get touched for a long time. So we'll see. I don't know.
That might be worth the money.
It might be. I mean, you know, I don't know what it proves at that point. I would love just to break it in general. But I don't think most people realize the altitude and how much it'll at least affects these little cars. And so, you know, they're just going to see the number. And so I want the biggest number possible. I mean, that's always been my goal. The 200 mile an hour barrier was my goal, you know, just to get there first. And Nick got there first, you know, congratulations to him. But now it's just really about how fast can I make a battery operated car go? Like, just absolutely how fast. I mean, I don't know if it's 250. I don't know if it's, you know, I don't know if it's 203. I don't know. Maybe it's 202.21. Maybe that's it. I don't know. I don't know.
I think what you're doing and what, you know, what you and Nick and whoever else does the speed run thing, it says a lot for what these little electric powered cars can do with these battery powered cars. Because I've just in passing mentioned to people that I work with or friends, oh yeah, I know this guy and he builds these speed run cars. And, you know, here's some of the speeds that he's been knocking off over the last couple of years, whatever. And, you know, the first thing out of their mouth is, oh, that's gas, right? Or that's nitro. I'm like, no, that's battery. Really?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. People that aren't in the hobby, even some people that may be in the hobby, I don't think you appreciate the amount of power that you can push through from a battery and a brushless motor.
Yeah.
Or even a brush motor for that matter.
Yeah. I mean, it's
amazing things out of all.
It is amazing. I mean, it really is. And brushless and lithium polymer batteries certainly, you know, upped the ante considerably. I remember back when I was drag racing in the 90s, we all ran round cells and brushed motors back then. And as a comparison, in 132 feet, I used to run a 14 cell car. Like, wrap your head around that. 14 of those little, and I used to run the Sub-C 600. So it was like a half size round cell, just a half as tall.
Okay.
And so you'd run 14 of those because you didn't need capacity. You just needed the voltage and on a brushed motor. And when I ran below 2 seconds and 132 feet, that was like, it was like setting the world on fire. And I think I ran about 65 miles an hour. And to compare that today, just a 2-cell car at 7 volts, I mean, that's a 14 volt car. So half the voltage essentially will run the same 132 feet over a half a second quicker, nearly 20 mile an hour faster. The same car. I mean, it's amazing how much power brushless motors have and lithium polymer batteries. It's crazy.
Yeah. And just the progression in technology that that's gone on in the hobby. And even there's something that's come out recently that I wanted to get your thoughts on. And that would be the diff brain technology that Arma is putting into their Nero monster truck. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen it. I only heard about it on your last show. You talked a little bit about it, and it does intrigue me. I just hadn't looked into it because I didn't plan on recording for another week. But it did. I mean, tell me a little bit about it, because it did intrigue me what you were saying. And I thought, well, that's interesting technology. I don't know. I just wonder if it's like a 2-speed transmission. It seems cool in a crawler. Or even a Yeti or whatever, you know, even a little more high speed one. It's cool, but it's very, it's very lethargic, and it's very preconceived what you're going to have to do when you do it. You know, it's not, I don't know. It just doesn't feel like it should just do its thing. Now, if this transmission will do, or these diffs will do that kind of lock on their own and that kind of thing, then yes. I mean, that, I don't know what kind of ability you have to adjust them.
From what I've read, and I haven't been able to do a deep dive on it yet. I've just watched a few videos. There have been a couple of reviews coming out from a few other hobbyists that have gotten their hands on this thing, and just reading what Arma has been putting into their marketing for this. It looks like there are 4 different modes, and they're all controlled or switchable from the transmitter.
Mm-hmm.
And basically you have a drift mode, you have a crawling mode, you have a, I think, wheelie mode. It might be one of them. It's like, okay, guys, sorry, I see where you're going with this. Mm. and then just one might just be an all out speed mode. So then you have, I believe it's a dial on the top of your transmitter that you can adjust these. And it's all the fact that you can do this, I believe, on the fly, is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, but is it like I'm just trying to imagine, like, if you're going to use it for like a speed run, let's just say my thing, you know, could I have it in some, I don't know, some kind of normal, I definitely don't want wheelie settings, yeah. Some kind of normal diff setting. So it's easy to control to get up to speed. And then when I feel like I'm at, you know, half or three quarters throttle, I can flip it into lock and then bang and, you know, and then really carry speed. Is, you know what I'm saying? Is it that kind of ability? Cause that would be really cool.
It might be, you know, from everything I've read and everything I've seen on it, it looks like it is for just, you know, overall bashing, quote unquote bashing. Mm-hmm. But to your point, you know, I think it has some cool applications if you were to put it towards a crawler or a trail rig where you can do some switching off quickly and easily and have something a little bit, it goes a little bit beyond just a two-speed transmission.
Yeah, you know? Maybe I'm thinking too much about it. Maybe it is what it is. It's supposed to be a basher car where you can just have this kind of fun where you can be on a basketball court and drift it a little bit or try to go up some hills and lock it up or whatever. So, yeah, maybe I'm just missing that part, that it is just a fun truck. It doesn't have to be it doesn't have to work like that.
And I think it's so new. I hope it makes an appearance in more than just a monster truck. I think that would help solve a lot of problems or clear a lot of things up from people like you and I, who are at this point just, you know, at arm's length looking at it.
I'm just not sure what it
and reading.
Yeah, like, what would I do? Like, if I won it, I would be happy. Yeah. I mean, like, if you wanted some wrap, you'd be like, cool, and you have a great time with it. But yeah, if you walk in the store and you look at it with all the other ones on the shelf, do you pull the trigger on that one?
Yeah.
I guess you got to try it. That's more kind of when you want to try.
Yeah. And I hope it doesn't go the way of, and I'm only saying this because I really haven't heard much mention of the, the ESC and motor all-in-one thing that came out about a year ago. Mm. I forgot what company came up with that idea. And at the time, it's like, oh, that's cool. It's really compact. And what? I haven't heard a thing about it since it came out. And I think you and Matt touched on it a bit on your show.
Yeah, I seem to remember it.
And I hope we're not getting into, you know, every year there's some new gimmick and it doesn't do anything to progress the hobby or progress technology within the vehicles. I hope it doesn't get too gimmicky, these little one-off gimmicks, because I think there are applications where if you can get a total package put together and make it so, okay, you've got a vehicle, it is purpose-built for going off-road. But when you're going off-road, if you want to tackle really rocky terrain, you can do that because it can, you know, lock the diffs and it can switch gears and, you know, transmission can be adjusted and shifted right from your remote, all that stuff. I think that gets my interest if something like that were to come to be, you know, come to pass. A monster truck that can drift and do all this stuff. Okay. It's fun, but I like the purpose-built vehicles, personally, or I tend to gravitate towards those. I was curious to see what you thought.
I would like to see a smart diff. I mean, why not? Electronics are that way. Have a smart diff that could sense, you know, wheel slippage and adjust.
Oh yeah.
Why not? That'd be cool. I would quickly adapt it to my speedrun cars as quick as it came out. The second it came out. Oh my gosh. Yeah, but it would be fun, I would think, even like a crawler or something like that. I mean, although people call it a cheater, it's just like that TSM thing. Traxxas has their funny cars are horrifying to drive. And if they have something to make them actually work, oh my gosh, just let these poor people have them. It's crazy.
So. Speaking of that TSM system, have you experienced that firsthand?
I tried it out at the hobby show out at RCX this last time.
Okay.
And compared to my car, yeah, it's awesome. The car goes A to B pretty much every time. I mean, every time, unless you try to steer it off and crash it. And it was great because those cars, I mean, I've run one for quite a while now, almost a whole year. And I literally the last time I just ran this last Saturday. And I lost in first round. And maybe this was the anger talking, but I don't think so because it's been several days now. And it's the same. My opinion, the same is I'm going to go home. I'm going to hang on the wall and I'm never taking it off again. Because this car is awesome and I kick everybody's butt and I TQ and I set the track record. And the next time I come out there, it won't go 6 feet. It just smashes into walls and flips over. It's just, I have no idea why. I mean, I just don't know why it changes like it does. And then I can take it out on the side of my pits and just like this dirty, you know, dusty parking lot and hammer the throttle and drive it right down there. And I don't know. It's so finicky and weird. It drives me insane. I'm like, why do I even bring it? And because it, you know, it occupies my mind. Like when I'm out there running cars, especially if I run a, you know, my pro stocks and all that, I've got one more car I'm thinking about that I don't need to. Like my whole point in running that car was that I just wanted to, I'm such a loser like this is, or maybe I just believe my own stuff that I tell my wife, because I told her, yeah, I'm going to get this, you know, this Trexus funny car I'm going to go out and do it because I just want to race a little bit, but I don't want to work on anything. I just want to go out and have one car and, you know, kick back and listen to the radio and hang out with, you know, some dudes and race. No, that car's already going on the wall and I've got four other cars that I'm running competitively now. And it's ridiculous. I'm so ridiculous. Oh my gosh, so bad. So
you touched on the crawling that you had done when you were taking a break from speed runs. Have you done any more with that, or now are you taking a break from the crawling and the rock racing?
Honestly, right now, I mean, I did drag race last weekend, and I had no plans. Like you want to hear a story that's totally true, and yet it still makes me seem like really good, and that's usually contradictory to me.
Sure.
So about 2 weeks ago or so, I was talking to my wife and I tell her, hey, there's a drag race you know, next week or whatever it is, next Saturday, I'm gonna go to that because I haven't been to one yet. They've already had three this season and I haven't been to one. And at the beginning of the season, I'm like, yeah, I want to compete in the points this year, but I'm already three races in the hole, so that's probably not gonna happen. And so she's like, oh, okay, yeah, you should go. That'll be fun. And that was it. And then like earlier in the week before that, she tells me, oh, I'm going to go meet my friend Saturday morning. This is a friend of hers that she's known since like junior high school or maybe even elementary. And they were going to go have breakfast on Saturday morning. And so I'm just like, all right, that's cool. And I'm thinking to myself, it's totally fine. She goes with me out on these, you know, speed runs in the middle of the hot desert. And all these other escapades I go on and dealt with them coming in the house and filming and all that. So, I mean, I can give up racing. It's whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And then she finds out because she's on Facebook. She sees on there, it says Tim has an event this weekend. And she comes in and she's like, why didn't you tell me that I forgot about your drag race? I'm like, no, I mean, it's totally okay. Like, I told her the same thing. I'm like, you do enough. Like, it's totally go have lunch or breakfast with your friend. It's no big deal. You know, and we have kids and stuff. So that's why I have to stay home.
Sure.
And so, no, she forced me to go, and our oldest was home. She's 21, and so she watched kids. So, yeah, so there. I see being a good guy paid off.
There you go.
That's really the moral of that story. I did the right thing, and it came back and paid back to me right off the bat. So, oh, man.
Good karma.
It is good karma. So, yeah, I have been back to your question after that weird story. I have not been doing much. I really, really, really have been trying to stay 100% focused on the speed run car. Coming out of the show, everything was really kind of positive. I had two cars that seemed to work really, really well. the thing that happened in the show that was really a downer, I won't tell you how everything went, but was when you film, it takes a long time. Like everything takes a really, really long time to do. And we could be out there from sun up until sundown, and I'm not kidding you, the whole absolute day, and I might get maybe four runs, you know, in total. And so if you have any check runs or anything like that, yeah, like meaning like you slip out, like if the car even goes 2 feet out of the groove, I just get out of it. Like it's not worth it. The groove is where it has to be to break these records. So there's really no reason to even go, oh, well, it was close over there. It doesn't matter. Close doesn't, you know, this is not horseshoes at all.
Right.
So unless the car is right where it has to be, and maybe I've learned that from wrecking so many cars, unless that car is right on the money, there's really, I mean, just get out of it and reset and do it again. But in a whole day, we get four. I go out on my, you know, just with me and my wife and this one friend of mine and the airport guy. And we start about 9:30, 10, somewhere in there. And by 1 o'clock, I've already got probably 6 to 8 runs in and we're ready to get out of there and go have barbecue. So, you know, that's how shows shoot. So it was very difficult with, I mean, I showed up in Utah with these two cars. I built them. I came out of the wind tunnel, designed the front end, everything, the body, the whole nine yards, completely built them. Had never even run them down my street. I had no idea what these cars were going to do. I built them and went to Utah for them to film me on TV. Like, man, I'm out of my mind. But I thought, you know, these guys are going to film it. I got to show up with cars.
Yeah.
And so I showed up with two big old cars and they were incredible. They went so straight, which was a relief because I thought, man, if I have to drive these things, I was already so nervous and jacked up, you know, it's crazy. So crazy. That's been a fun thing to do though. Like who gets to do that? Who gets to run a toy car and have a bunch of film people film it? I can't wait to see the footage because they had a million cameras.
Yeah. Do you know, have they given you any indication when the episode might be out?
The series comes out. When did he tell me? I think September.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be out on Netflix in September. I don't really know the title. I know what the working title is. I can't say that. I mean, sure. Which I'll totally get in trouble for, but, and I've been told a million times it's going to change. But you know, it's the guys from Mythbusters minus Jamie and Adam. They're off doing their own thing. It's the rest of them. And it's kind of the deal where each one of them takes a person. So maybe there's three things on each show. Maybe it's that kind of thing, you know, okay. Because there's three of them. And I had Grant. Grant was mine. Everywhere I went, Grant was everywhere. I hang out with that guy a lot. He's a super great guy. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I didn't even talk about him, but the film industry is that's a weird bird. There were some weird people. Like I met some weird, and this is pretty low level, but I mean, you meet some weird people, but I've done a couple of things with them just on the side. I went out and helped them record times on, someone made this car from 1902 plans. That's an electric car.
Okay.
And Tori drove it. It was so sketchy. I can't even believe this guy got in the car and drove it. Like when you're there filming, you realize that that you'll kind of do whatever, regardless of how safe or unsafe it really actually is. Somehow you just think it's going to be okay because there's a bunch of people around with cameras and you get in this false sense of security because I did it too. And I didn't get in a crazy car, but you just, yeah. I mean, I raced my car. They were doing shooting. Oh man, this was crazy. These guys were filming my car. And so my speedrun car, and this guy is got his legs spread, right? So about 2.5 feet wide is the opening.
Okay.
And he's got the camera and there's another guy, they're butt to butt with both their legs spread. They want me to come down this track at about 100 miles an hour through both of their legs. And I'm like, sure, I can do that. No problem. No problem at all. I think my smart aleck remark was, I'm a pro dude. No problem. And I drove it down and turned it around and I ripped that thing through the middle of both their legs. And when it went through, both of them went, I told you, I was going right through. And yeah, we did a few things like that. We did a couple shots where I'm in the back of a minivan and he's got this thing floored going down this runway. I mean, as fast as he can go. I mean, I don't know how fast a minivan goes with 6 people in it and Grant's in it and he's like hooting and hollering and I'm like sitting in the back with it open with my legs hanging out with this minivan going 80 plus mile an hour down a runway and I'm chasing it with my car and my car's like right next to us like 3-4 feet away and so they're telling me, you know, okay, bring it over here, bring it over there, and then I take it over on the side of the van and they're like, okay, can you accelerate it out of frame? And so I just grab a hold of throttle. That thing at 80 miles an hour, when you're next to it in a car and it accelerates, it is unbelievable. Everybody in that car started screaming. That thing, it leaves you so fast. And you know you're going fast. And so yeah. For it to drive away like that, like to sit right next to you and then just be gone, was one of the coolest things we did, was all that filming where I got to be in the car and chase it and film it. I would love to do that for some shows. That was super fun. The filming part, being on camera, you know, it's more fun just doing all the driving.
driving. Build fast cars.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was crazy. I got to do some fun stuff. I forgot about those things. I don't even think I talked about those things on my show. The filming part, that was nuts. I couldn't believe those guys let me do it. I couldn't believe I did it. When I got done, I even felt like a little bit badass. Like, damn, dude, you really did do that. you told him you're going to do it and you did it. That's crazy. So there you go.
I think my first question to them probably would have been, do you have insurance?
I think somebody said that afterwards, like, don't let the insurance guy see that at all. But I mean, you know, they got the shot. I mean, yeah. It should look incredible. That car coming and going.
I can't wait to watch your episode. When it comes out. Good.
Unless they make me look like a big goober, which, you know, shouldn't be too hard, to be honest with you. But, you know, we'll see. I know when we were in the wind tunnel, I felt like I just didn't even say anything, but I had been up, I mean, literally all night. I slept 2 hours in my car before the crew showed up to start filming the next morning, because we ran so many tests all night long, just working on the car, trying to learn what was bad about it. And all I really learned was the entire front end of the car was garbage and needed to be cut off and covered up. And so, I don't know. I'm interested to see how the show comes out. I just hope it's cool and entertaining. I hope people will get it and enjoy it, you know, because you figure the majority of the people are going to see that have no idea about RC cars. And so to see a car go as fast as what I did run on the show is going to blow their minds. I mean, they're not going to believe what they're seeing, you know, just like you said, when you show people video. So the same thing, just on a grander scale, I guess.
Yeah. And that's selfishly, you know, as a self-reclaimed ambassador of the hobby, you know, that's what I'm mm-hmm. looking forward to, too. I hope mm-hmm. people see what you've done.
Yeah, me too.
And get into it on some level, even if it's, you know, getting an on-road touring car or something like that. And if that inspires them to try to, you know, go out and break some low-hanging fruit records, you know, more power to them. But, you know, just the more people in the hobby, the better.
Right. Well, I mean, it's even just a more of a deal where people, I mean, how many people are going to see that and see how fast my car is and go, well, I had no idea. I mean, RC cars can be, I mean, I obviously can be this fast. I don't want it that fast.
Right.
But it can be really fast. Like, let's go check those out. You know, maybe we'll get one of those.
Let's head on down to Radio Shack. And
yeah. Let's hope that doesn't happen, huh? I tried to get as many Max Amps positions in there as possible, but man, they came in and they shot in here in my shop where we record the show and all that. And I mean, there is not an empty space that doesn't have a car or a banner. And if you've seen any of my cars, you know that they're like banners on top of that. Right. So I have a lot of great people that support me. And so they're all over my shop. But when they came in here, they filmed it. And then I heard from them like a couple weeks later, I guess Netflix was really bummed out because they're like, dude, there's too many logos. Like, he has them everywhere. I'm going, yeah, that's what it's about. It's not about one or two. It's about all of them. Everyone can see them as many times as possible. So, yeah, I'm interested to see how it comes out. It should be something. Me on TV. Well, I mean, what, how much better does it get, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So for those of you listening, look, if you are a Netflix subscriber, check that out around September-ish.
Mm-hmm. I'll be posting, of course.
Tim will be posting. Check out his Facebook page. Check out timsmith.com for updates on that. And I'm sure I will be sharing his information as well, because I want as many people to see that as possible, too. You can tell we don't have any notes tonight. We're just kind of we're riffing. Yeah. So I wanted to, you mentioned something on your last show that was actually a topic that Peter Gray of RC Car Zone and UK Drone Show Magazine and I were talking about a few months ago now. And that's the sport of quadcopter racing or drone racing or multi-rotor racing, however you want to phrase it, term it. I'm on the fence when it comes to having that be the air quotes next big thing, next big spectator sport. I think there has, I think there's potential. I'm worried that it's getting too big too fast, or it's, you know, the spotlight is getting too bright too quick. And I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done before it can be legitimately seen as that. And you were making some comments during your last show where I think you're not on the fence. You're definitely on one side And that's the ain't going to happen.
Well, I'm on the ain't going to happen fence as far as it becoming this global thing that people will want to spectate. That was the word I was searching for. I mean, it's worse to watch than RC racing is, and RC racing can be pretty exciting sometimes, but you can't there. I tried to watch it live at RCX, and they're so fast and they're so small that they need to be bigger and brighter or something. I mean, if you're going to watch the actual racing, because the people, like I said, you know, the guys racing, they're just sitting there with their heads down, you know, flipping sticks and focused on what they're doing. So you don't get that drum, you know, that kind of dramatic, I don't know. It's just, it doesn't work. Like all those pieces aren't there. Like the major pieces aren't there. I mean, I don't know how you're going to sell that to people to want to watch, because it's not exciting like that.
I get where you're coming from. I tried to get into the, I'm totally going
to needs to be changed. You know, like maybe the track or the what, like you need to be able to see them better. Like I'm sure
yeah,
cool if you can there, see them better, but
there was a big event in Dubai earlier in the year to kick off the year.
I watched it. Yeah.
And yeah, I tried to get into that, and I was really pumped, and you know, Peter and I were shooting messages back and forth, and you know, we had a couple of chats on Skype, and he's all on board. So I'm trying to, you know, get pumped up and get psyched up. And there were moments where it's like, all right, I see where he's coming from with this. Mm-hmm. And then things would happen, and you know, they would shift to go to a different camera angle, or really it was going away from the onboard camera to, you know, just a shot of the track. And it's like, okay, where are they?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think there's one over there, mm-hmm. but they had and really, I guess maybe that was a bad race for me to watch as my first FPV multi-rotor drone race, because they had that track lit up so many ways, which ways, upside down ways, and the track itself moved. And it's like, why? Because it just moved for the heck of it, you know, and it seemed like it was lit up for the heck of it. I can see if the track was lit as a tracking mechanism to follow where the copter is,
right?
Or light the copters up more, as you said, make them bigger, a little bit bigger. I think part of the speed and the agility comes from the fact that these things are so small.
Sure.
But
I mean, maybe you have to adjust the course for something that, I mean, it depends on what they're really going after. But what got them here? You know, what created this league were these types of drones with these types of guys driving them or flying them. And that's what you have. So you can't, I mean, I don't think you can go back and reinvent that wheel. And so I don't, you know, I even thought maybe if they hooped the entire track and then the hoops would basically light up as they came by, you'd have this slinky of light. I mean, I don't know, but it visually it's impossible to really get into at this point with the kind of camera work that they have tried or that I've ever even seen. You know, in a viewership from the outside, inside, yeah, you can kind of see the twists and the turns and the lights and all that, but you're always going to get stuck with one perspective. You can't really see if the guy's, you know, right on your tail until he floats by real quick. So I don't know. I wish it was better. I mean, I wish something in RC was great and was on TV. My gosh.
Yeah.
Don't make me the only thing. You don't want that.
Well, and this is only the tip of the iceberg too. You know, there is definitely money behind it. There's definitely backing behind it with ESPN doing streaming and broadcasting of some events later in the year. That Mountain Dew Invitational that's happening at some point this year. There's time for them to shift and time for them to adjust. And I hope that they can iron out some of the kinks, because I think there's something there. If BattleBots can get on TV, you know,
well, but you know, it was a produced adjustment to get them on there, because the majority of these guys that do this type of fighting, at least I've learned this recently, run much, much lighter bots. And all the stuff you see right now was created for television. Like they wanted them to be this way, to be 250 pounds, to have these kinds of powers and flame and all that. Oh, okay. TV understood what they were trying to do, and they've done a great job, really. I mean, you know, these these are goofy guys like you and me, you know, that are doing this stuff, and they really have produced it in a way that they don't look like goofs. I mean, they are what they are. We are goobers. I mean, you know, I'm a half a liter one now. You know, but they portray it in a way that it's cool. Like, I think so. I don't find any of it demeaning or degrading, you know, or geekdom or anything like that. They don't make any fun of it. They're serious about it.
No.
And it's exciting, but they figured out a way to shoot it and make it exciting for the people watching it. You know, the lighter ones weren't so exciting because they just roamed around and tapped on each other. That wasn't exciting, so it wasn't going to make it to TV. But there's more guys that do robot fighting in the other weights and sizes than what we see on the television. I've just found this recently. Like, there's this huge world of them that are doing this. There's events going on all over the place, been going on forever. But none of these guys are running these big, huge ones. They're all built, like, right before the TV taping because they just finished the TV taping, like, last week. Okay. And so if they can figure out a way to make it look good, I mean, I think I made this point in my show, ESPN couldn't figure out a way to make NHRA drag racing viable enough to keep it on.
I mean, yeah, that's true.
That's fact. They lost it to Fox Sports 1, and and Fox Sports 1 is changing all around. Like, every time it goes somewhere, poor drag racing, they always try to figure out a way to make it appealing to people, and they don't. And then a silly show like Street Outlaws comes along with a bunch of hillbillies and people fall over themselves to go and watch it. So, I mean, you know, you never know. You never know what's going to happen. Yeah. I mean, who can predict it? You know, who knows? A year from now, we could have a talk and I could have my own show because, you know, my speed thing hit and all of a sudden now I'm the speed guy. And I mean, you never know what's going to happen. Or I could be unemployed and homeless. I don't know.
Hopefully it's the first one and not.
Well, I'd rather have something kind of in between. To be honest with you, a little bit in between would be good. A little bit of work and a little bit of playing, that's fine with.
Partly me. Homeless, you know.
Yeah, I know. I could do without that.
I think, you know, it's cool to see a glimmer of RC being mainstream ish, or at least, you know, getting pushed in that direction.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I agree.
Yeah. It's cool. I still have this feeling where it's just tap the brakes a little bit, guys, because I think you're putting too much money and too much stuff into this and not really getting a solid product before you push it in front of everybody. But
I challenge anyone, take, you know, any, I'll even throw it open. I don't even know what's out there, but take any of these normal drone races, find one on YouTube and show it to your spouse. Have them sit there and watch it. And when it's done, go, what do you think about that? And they'll probably start with, you're not going to buy one, are you? You know, that may be the first response, but I guarantee they're not going to be, wow, that was really exciting. Wow. That's not going to be anyone's response. And it has to be. I mean, it has to be. My gosh. Look at the finish. I don't know if anyone saw this. There was a finish at the Tamiya the Tamiya race this last weekend. Oh gosh, who were the two guys? I mean, they literally, like, it was like less than a hundredth of a second they clipped each other. They were nose to tail the whole way around this track on road, back and forth, and it was so awesome. And I thought, that's not on TV. It's not going to be either, because there's a handful of us that think it's cool. There's not, you know, 700,000 of us that think it's cool.
Yeah,
and that's like a minimum number. It's got to be a big number to be on TV, unless it's on something like Netflix that they pay for and they don't care.
That's true.
It's just subscription. So that's what they need. They need like a subscription service maybe to pick them up. Like, I don't know what.
Right. Or a dedicated online service like LiveRC.
Well, I've noticed LiveRC's had a couple of them recently.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I saw one just a week or so ago. I saw them advertising it. So I assumed the way they were talking about it, that they were, you know, they were live feeding it to some extent. But I'm not sure what they live. I should have watched it. Because if they were just all outside, I would like to have seen it. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know what to do about that one because, you know, they've got these neon lights all over the track. Like, that seems to be the style right now. It started at the Worlds with all the neon lights. But so that means they can't really put a light on the quadcopter because you can't really see it within those lights. And, I mean, now what do you do? What do you do now? How do you make them so we can see them from, you know, standing over here and tell how close that is? Do you need to film it from on top of it looking down? Maybe that's the answer. I don't know. But then it's just going to look like little lights buzzing around, and that's not very exciting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh. It'll be interesting to see how it unfolds.
Yeah. So
at any rate, at any rate, it's RC, and I would like to get a quad anyway.
I want one really bad.
Just because.
I want one really bad. I know. I see Charlie from Novak.
Yes.
Did you see his latest one where he's flying around like they went off roading and he's flying around the camp and off over like the river and oh my gosh, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I have to get one of these things. I have to get one.
I've seen so many of his videos in the last week. It seems like either he's putting out more or Facebook wants me to see his videos more than anybody else's. But
yeah,
I scroll down and all, you know, oh, there's Charlie. Oh, there's a video. It's auto playing. I must watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
The thing is, I want one like that has everything and does, like, I want it all ready to go. Someone make that, because I don't think they do. Like, I want one ready, like, you know, with everything on it. All I got to do is put on the goggles and start learning. That's all I want to do. I don't want to, like, oh, you got to buy this frame and you got to buy these motors. And, you know, I've grown into that RTR mentality, I guess, where it's exhausting.
Mindset. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, unless it's a speedrun car where I have to do that, I don't want to. I want to buy it and have some fun.
And I'm in the same boat. I've been researching it a little bit for the site, of course, you know, for professional use.
Of course.
For
yeah.
My own enjoyment.
Is she in the room?
No, she's not. I found a lot of, okay, here's the frame, you know, here's the motors, here's the different boards that you need to get. And here's the board for the camera and the camera itself and this and that. And I'm sure I haven't even gotten into the goggles yet. And
I'm sure it's simple, but doesn't it seem overwhelming? And you know, one thing I think quadcopters kind of ruined with themselves was everyone came out with 5 different models and there's like 1,000 of them. And I don't even know what the heck the difference is. I mean, maybe if I was into it. You know, when I first got into crawling and I had bags, this guy gave me bags of well, now I know they're a bunch of SXC or SCX 10 parts. And I had no idea. Like, no. What is all this stuff? Like, how does this even become a car? I had no clue. Now I look and I go, oh my gosh, I could build, you know, this, this, and this, and this. So maybe just you have to get that learning curve over with. But ugh, I don't want to. I just want to buy one and go do it.
Yeah, I'm almost tempted to get a little $50, you know, non-racing quad. My dad has one similar to that, just, you know, a plastic El Cheapo model and hang around with that. And if I crash it.
Yeah, no, I want goggles. Like, that's the big thing. I want goggles. And I thought, okay, if I'm getting goggles, then obviously I've got to get a decent, I think 250 is the size I want. That's the smaller one.
Okay.
I think. I don't know. I'm asking the wrong person.
I don't know either. We went on a road trip this past weekend and I was doing research on my phone.
Oh, yeah.
As I was in the passenger seat, and you know, it's like there's too many things here for me to get a clear picture. I just need a day to sit and peruse and figure stuff out. But even with the cheap models, you know, I've seen some that do Wi-Fi. They have a Wi-Fi camera that can broadcast to either a remote or to a phone.
Yeah.
So if you can do that, you know, I don't see why you couldn't rig up a Google goggles or Google cardboard type situation and slide your phone in there, you know, and that's have a makeshift FPV setup.
Yeah, because I want to, I mean, seeing that video of Charlie's where he's flying around, like, that's a perspective I want. I want that item for that perspective. I want to see things from that perspective. I want to fly way up and around and see stuff. So,
yeah.
That's what I need. So anyone out there, tell me. I'll even pay you to build it for me. I just want it. That's what I want. I got to talk to Charlie. Like, I need to do that.
Yeah.
I don't have room to I couldn't even hang it on my wall. That's too much stuff already.
Yeah, that's the sad reality of it too.
Yeah.
For me.
Such problems we should have, huh?
Don't have room for it and don't have time to fly it.
No, I don't. I have more stuff than I have time for. And that is kind of frustrating. My crawlers are just all, I went over and was like blowing all the dust off them with the air hose the other day. Cause they just, Like, you know, there's no time. There's no time for everything. I mean, recently there has been no time, but
yeah,
Axel Fest is coming. So
I was just going to say, you'll have to get those all shined up and ready to roll for Axel Fest this year.
I'm thinking about doing nothing to them and just taking them up there because they worked great last time. And just set them down and go. Be like, there you go. No work. Don't touch them again. I shouldn't have to when you think about it. It's all aluminum. I mean, everything's metal on it, you know? The disc right. even metal. I mean, there's really nothing unless something rots or like a bearing freezes up or something. I mean, I don't know. Every once in a while I walk by and roll the wheels and they spin just fine, so.
Yeah, check your tires, make sure they don't have holes in them or rips or
yeah, yeah,
anything like that. You should be good to go.
Moths ate them.
I'll be, once again, living vicariously through you and all the other folks that are going to Axel Fest this year.
Well, I hope to go. We might even be doing a show live each day. That's been
fun.
Yeah, Axel asked me via John Schultz if maybe that's a possibility. I said, heck yeah, I would love to come do it. I don't know how we'll do it. I just need some Wi-Fi or something so I can at least talk to Matt. I mean, I thought it would be cool to do it live, like do a live feed to where people in the camp can all hear it. And then I could talk about what's gone on that day and what's going to go on and, you know, kind of what Axel Fest based for a couple of days. That'd be kind of fun, don't you think? Just like do an hour or two each night.
Very cool.
Yeah. So we'll see. They're just trying to work out, I think, just the details of it. But so if you're going to Axel Fest, hopefully we'll figure out some either. I mean, if they have Wi-Fi, then I guess we could do like an internet, you know, stream. If not, I don't know how we could stream. If you could stream on like AM radio, you know how people used to do that? It's just on AM. Like, hey, remember the Mr. Microphone? Remember that thing?
Yeah.
Do you?
I do.
Don't lie to me.
I do.
Where you roll up. I remember the commercial because he's in the back of a convertible and they drive up next to some girl walking. And he's all, hey, baby, we'll be back to pick you up later. And they drive away. And I thought, what? Even then, I was like, wait, what's the use of that microphone if you're not even picking her up? You're just taking off. Yeah, so maybe I need like a Mr. Microphone. I could do some AM radio talking. Oh, my gosh. That'll be atrocious. So
now you got the gears in my head turning.
But what?
Thanks. Oh, just how you could rig that up.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to figure out a way to do it. I haven't really researched it because I just haven't had time. I just told them what we needed and said, hey, if you guys can figure out a way to do it, I'll stand there and I'll talk and I'll interview people and do whatever.
I'll spare my listeners the boring the boring tech angle that I'm kind of coming at from this, but I'll make sure to mention it to you off air.
Okay.
It might not even work, but it's just something that popped into my head. Yeah, I was on a college radio show back in my college days. Funny enough how that happened. Mm-hmm. And we did a remote from the lobby of our dorm and we did not get clearance for this. We weren't even like technically on the air. It was all closed circuit TV, but just strictly audio. Mm-hmm. But we rigged something up. So
like I'm ready.
I don't even know how we did it, but we like called in and, you know, they're like, yeah, we heard you did this remote. Don't ever do that again. I'm like, okay. We won't.
Yeah, that's what I need. I mean, because it's way up in the mountains, I don't know what they have up there. Like
that might be tough.
Yeah. I seem to remember my phone had pretty good cell signal up there, if I remember right. So, I mean, the easiest would be is if they just get Wi-Fi. Just get me some Wi-Fi, even on like just like a car, you know, like a plug-in card thingy, whatever.
Yeah.
We could stream it and then people could, I guess they could listen to it. Like we could record it and stream it, but you'd have to stream it. I mean, I guess, you could probably do it through your car radio. I don't know. So that's all for them to work out. So
yeah, you're providing the show.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do it. It'd be fun. So there's a ton of people to talk to, so it's not like I would have, you know, try to figure out things to do. I wouldn't have to think about anything. Just show up and, you know, give me a list of what happened today and what we're doing tomorrow and what times. That's it.
I think there might be two or three people roaming around there.
Yeah, well, there's gonna be
not many more than that.
Right. I can already off the top of my head think of, you know, five or six at least that I would love to sit and talk to that I wanted to on my show and just never had a chance to.
Yeah.
So, I've been having that recently where I've been getting a lot of people. I don't know if you do this where you get people that, you know, want to come on or you want to get them on and you just like, we've been kind of missing weeks to do shows because Matt's been really busy. Mm-hmm. So, I feel like I'm stacking up on people. People are getting sick of it. You're not going to have me on. Forget it.
I've got a list of people that's, it seems like it's growing and just between people that have asked and people that I want to ask, it's an ever evolving list and it's an ever growing list. And I keep finding so many cool people in the hobby. It's like, oh, I really want to talk to them because they did, you know, this thing. They know how to paint or they know how to, you know, build a really kick butt crawler. So yeah, I've got a cool, it's a nice deep pool to draw from. Let's just put it that way, with people. So
it's cool too, when it's exciting, like when it's someone exciting, like, or that,
yeah,
that you're excited about, I guess. Is that
always, yeah. Yeah. In this year, I've done a little bit different thing with the show, different positioning with the show, you know, trying to get a kind of a rotating smorgasbord of guests on, to get different perspectives. And even on the site itself, I've been trying to spotlight a few people that I appreciate what they do within the hobby and just kind of give them an attaboy and really just shine a light on what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And even that, I've got, you know, a list of articles and posts that I need to write on all these people. And it's like, oh, I've got to get to this person and got to get to that person. But I'll get to it eventually. It's a process.
It's hard.
It's all a process.
Especially writing. Writing takes a lot of time. I mean, I wrote some articles and stuff like that, but I found it was easier to just sit down and start talking about it and get it over with in an hour and be done. Well, 2 hours maybe.
Yeah. or three.
Yeah. Gosh, sometimes I can't shut up.
So with circling back to Axelfest, is there anything that you were looking forward to for this year's go around specifically, or are you just going to go have a good time and talk to some folks?
Just pretty much have a good time. Last year was the first time my wife had went, and she really, really seemed to enjoy herself. She came back and just raved about how much fun she had. So I'm looking forward to that, like taking her back, because I know she understands what she, you know, what it is, and we'll probably do a lot more crawling than we did. I might even take my kids. I don't know. That's still kind of up in the air because that kind of, to be honest with you, it unleashes a lot of other things. Now I have to have 4 plus vehicles maintained and running all the time. And so it's a lot to do. And I don't know that they're going to want to spend 2 whole days up there doing it. Like maybe 1 by day 2, they'll be like, eh. And my wife and I are both like, well, we'll go have fun. And so we don't want you guys to come up there and then be all grumpy and crabby and ruin our fun. So
yeah.
Decide if you really, really want to go. If it's something in your heart, you're like, oh, I'll be sad if you guys don't take me, then fine, you can go. But if it's like, oh, I just want to, I'll just go. Then no, don't go. Cause there's no TV. There's none of that. Like it's all gone. Like they've never had to experience that world. Like it's all gone. None of that stuff. And so you're just out walking in the woods right behind a little RC car. That's what you do. So if you want to do that, I can give you as much as you can take. I promise. So we'll see. But yeah, I would be fine with just me and my wife going. It's a nice getaway. We never get away and do anything, just us. I was going to say anything that's not RC related, and this is RC related. So, hey, never mind. I guess we don't do anything that's not RC related, it seems. So, but even this, it's kind of nice because, you know, you go out for a few hours and come back and we kick back in the cabin and listen to music and, I don't know, just relaxing. Nice. So I wish you would go. You're going to have so much fun when you finally do.
I will. I'm going to kick that can down the road one more year. I'll be family vacationing during Axelfest this year. So
that's what a lot.
There's that.
I mean, there's a lot of people do that. They set their whole vacation schedule up around it and come out there and, you know, come out like a day or two early and spend a few days. I mean, the best thing to do if you're coming from far away is just to get like a hotel room like we do. I don't even bring any of the camping stuff, although I wouldn't mind camping maybe next year. I like it. It's fun.
So you have to level with me here. Are you getting a kickback from that tent thing that you're
dude, that what
you posted?
Earth? No. And the story. Okay. Let me tell the whole story here. This is the craziest thing, man. This is the craziest thing right now. My world is so weird. I'll tell you, every time I think that's the last weird thing, nope, something else comes along. And so I think just surfing my news feed or something, and someone puts up this picture of an Easy Up with these little tents that you can attach to each side of it. And so it gives you like a little fortress almost with a covered center area. It's brilliant, really.
Yeah.
And so I snatched the photo off because I'm not one to reshare stuff. I just snatched the photo because it's from Walmart, and I go and I find it, you know, the link and all that. And I grab the photo and I just throw it up on my page like, hey man, from Axelfest friends and stuff, because the first thing I thought of was Axelfest because it's just like RC. I mean, it's like RC racing, you know, you have your Easy Up, you have your table and, you know, your whole little pit area set up. I mean, I'm a guy that's always raced outside, so that's my way. And so I thought that's even better because now your tent is right there by all your stuff. And you know what I mean? It just all feels right. And so I threw it up there and said, hey man, anybody's looking for a, you know, like a cool idea for Axial Fest, check it out. And those things are $39, those little tent things that stick on the side of the Easy Up. And okay. So I just throw it up on my page and that's that. That's that. I mean, and you know me, it's really rare that I put up something that's not RC related, you know, in that level.
Sure.
And this was just because it was an item for Axial Fest, but that's really it. It's not an RC car or a controller or anything like that. And so I stick it up there and I should go look, but I don't know. But last time I checked, it has, well, I told my wife by tonight it had probably over 20,000 shares and 3,000 or 4,000 likes. 20,000 shares, dude. 20,000 shares. And the crazy thing is I'm getting friend requests like one a minute. And I've been getting them for like the last 2 or 3 days, like one a minute. It's the craziest thing. It's become its own thing. Like it's alive. Like it,
you are the next Chewbacca mom. Congratulations.
Yeah. It really that stupid tent in my post, it is a viral item. And someone wrote in there, it's amazing that all your achievements and records and a post about a tent from Walmart is the one that scores the social media claim. And I think I put in there, I think I put something like, it really puts it in perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, just when you think you got it all figured out, like, oh man, I know how to work Facebook. Look, all these friends I got, I get all these likes. And then you put up a tent picture and it just blows your mind. 20,000 shares. And that's just what it'll probably reach tonight. Who knows what it'll reach, you know, over the next couple of days if it keeps going. I don't know. I don't know how long these things last for. But it's such an item that it's not like newsworthy. It could just keep going.
They don't last long, but ride the wave, my friend. Ride the wave.
It's cool. I'm not taking any of the friends because none of them are RC related. And that's the one thing, too. I thought, man, I'm bumming for anybody who's actually coming to my page to be my friend right now, you know, that's into what I'm doing, because they're just getting deleted. Because it's just, I mean, every time I turn my phone on, there's 200-300. And so I have to go through mass delete. I don't go and look at each one or anything like that. So crazy, man. So I don't know. What the heck, really? I mean, you think...
Did you buy one of those tents?
No, I didn't. You think Walt
sent
me one, wouldn't you? I so wonder if there's some guy at Walmart like, why are we having a run on these tents? What is going on? Because I scroll every once in a while, I'll click on the share. Like on my page, it'll, you know, I can see who shared it.
Yeah.
And I'll click on it and I'll scroll through them just to see what people write. And all these people are like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get one right now. Oh, I just picked up two of them. And I'm thinking, how many of these things have they sold? Like, jeez. Unbelievable. So, yeah, Walmart, you owe me. I mean, at least an Easy Up in like three of those things. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more than fair.
Your fortress of awesome.
I should look and see if they've sold out anywhere. Sold out at all stores. Wow.
I'm on the fence about getting one. We're actually looking at getting something similar to that. Not for an Easy Up, but just, you know, like a little beach tent.
Yeah.
And I was looking at that. I'm like, that might actually fit the bill, but it's got some some characteristics that I'm not crazy about, but for what it is, what it's intended for, that's a genius idea.
Yeah. Even Max Amps, I talked to them today. They're like, what is going on with that post? I don't know. I don't have any idea. They're just like, dude, you know, things like that, you really grasp the reach that something you put up can have. Not always, obviously.
Right.
But possibly can have. It's, I mean, I can't even explain it. It's just, I wish there was some way I was making or winning or doing something from it, but I can't figure out any way that's given me anything other than getting to delete a whole bunch of people. That's all. And it's a fun story, you know?
Yeah.
But other than that, it's not like I don't get a penny or anything like that. And you know, Facebook hasn't emailed me like, dude, you're rad. Nothing. I've gotten anything.
Hashtag Tim the Tent Guy.
Yeah. I should. I wonder how many. I wonder how many likes that thing has. Oh my gosh! It was just. I mean, all I can say is, you look at it though. When I see that thing, it's pretty amazing, that tent thing. I mean, whoever came up with that idea, that's the real hero. Like, it's. I don't know. Kind of blows my mind a little bit, but. I don't know, dude. I can't explain. I have no words for it. Oh my goodness. We're at 4,600 likes and 21,162 shares.
Wow.
So it's just, it's even surpassed where I thought it'd be tonight. It's out of control, Tim.
Unbelievable.
I think I'm going to break the internet. It's going to be all
with a tent.
With a tent. With a tent. Hey, how is this not on the news? Walmart tent breaks the internet. I've got another 420.
You wait till this episode hits, and then that'll pick it.
Yeah, huh?
Pick it up.
Yeah. I'll tell you, if I had no friends and I'd put that post up, although I probably wouldn't have got the shares I got out of it, but I'd have a whole bunch now. Out of a whole bunch. And I'm trying to figure out why are they friending me? Do they just think I'm going to put up lots of pictures of tents and things? Why are they friending me? Because most of them, I don't know most of them, but a lot of them, it seems like, are women from the Midwest, age about probably 40 to 70 would be the majority of the people. There's a pretty big majority of young, well, I'd say younger women and men are kind of equal at the rest of the pot, I guess, from there. Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. But I guess that demographic must like to share stuff.
I was going to say, that must be the tent demo.
Yeah. They're all about sharing. Yeah, so many people are like, oh, we need this for soccer. We need this for fishing. We need, and I'm reading some of them like, yeah, that's a good idea. I didn't think about that. Yeah, man. Walmart, that Ozark Trail, stupid easy up tent or whatever. I don't know what it's called. That's nuts. So, yeah, welcome to my world, Tim. The fun never stops.
Wow. No. No. It just pitches a tent and camps out.
Yeah. Apparently it does. Oh, could you imagine if I could get likes like that on RC stuff? Dang. So many people be into RC.
And that's got to be the frustrating part.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, really? For a tent?
I just wonder.
Look at this other cool stuff I'm doing over here.
I know. It's way cooler than this tent. I just wonder at what level... is, you know, let's just say 21,000 shares. Like what level of a news item gets, you know, how, like, where does it have to be? You know what I mean? Like, what does that rank? How far down is that? It's a lot of shares. And the thing is, like, my wife was telling me, she goes, now what's happening is because people are just sharing, and then they share, like, it's shared on top of share. Like, it's like a wave. It's just going to keep going. So it goes all the way through Facebook, I guess. And hits the other side of the wall and maybe ripples back. I don't know.
Yeah.
It might. I mean, that's the kind of thing that could come back like a year from now. You know how things pop up in your timeline? You're like, I saw like a year ago. No, that one's coming back, baby. Get ready for the tent. We're going to have this talk again when it has 100,000 shares. I should get something for that.
You should. You got to work out an affiliate deal with them or something.
Oh my gosh. All right. That's enough from me. Let her know if you're good. So you had such a great interview last time, and then I followed it up with this menagerie.
It's
God, I love that.
It was fun catching up with you.
Yeah, it was good, man. I like fun. I wanted to chat with you. I was super happy to come on. You should come on mine. We just come back and forth every week.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Since Matt leaves me out, I'm going to have to bring somebody back in. Uh-oh, Matt. I hope he hears that. Maybe it'll encourage him. Maybe it'll encourage him to what? Only sleep 3 hours a night instead of the four?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough thing. He's in the East Coast and I don't get home until late, so it's all good though. But you know,
well, I think we've covered the gamut and then some. If people want to get in touch with you or find out what you're doing, find out what camping equipment you're sharing on Facebook, what's the best way for people to track you down, Tim?
The best way is you can find me on Facebook. If you look Tim Smith Racing, you can Google Tim Smith Racing. You can find me at timsmithracing.com, my website, which has all the podcasts, which is the TSR Speed Shop RC podcast. And yeah, I mean, you can just Google Tim Smith Racing. It's really enjoyable how easy it is to find me that way. Yeah, that's it. that's how you find me. And you can find all the awesome
people.
Yeah, you can find all the awesome people to support me. I won't go into that list now. They're rad.
Simple, straightforward, just the way I like it. Thank you again, Tim. I appreciate you taking the time. It was great catching up with you, and I can't wait to see that show when it comes out in September.
Yeah, me either. I'm looking forward to it. And thanks again, and thank you for everyone out there in the RC. I know that a lot of people are listening to this show that listen to my show, and we all thank you so much for being into RC and supporting the part of RC we like, doing these shows and doing this kind of stuff. It's, you know, we like it as much as you guys do. I'm sure of that. So thank you.
Thank you. It's always great catching up with Tim Smith, finding out what he's got going on. He's definitely been busy the last few months. It's been an exciting year for him. It's been exciting for me to follow what he's been doing through his podcast and through his Facebook page. So again, go and check Tim out on Facebook. If you don't know where to find him, just Google Tim Smith Racing or the Tim Smith Racing TSR Speed Shop podcast, and you'll definitely find out what he's up to and what he's been up to. I'm looking forward to hearing how his adventures in Axial Fest go. It would be very cool if he's able to put together his live podcast series or his live podcast show during that event. At any rate, if you are at Axial Fest or planning to go to Axial Fest, be sure to look Tim up and say hi. So before we wrap this show up, I do want to give a little bit of a shout out to Proline Racing. They are offering listeners to the RC Noob podcast a little bit of a discount. You can save 10% when you check out using a special promo code, which we will share with you shortly. But Proline Racing is dedicated to creating unforgettable memories for both the everyday backyard hero and the performance-hungry competitive racer. For over 30 years, Proline has been made in America with a commitment to quality and excellence in product development and service. You can tackle any terrain, go faster, and bash harder with Proline products. If you want to save a little money on your next RC project, make sure you enter promo code RCNoobAP10 at checkout and save 10% on your order at ProLineRacing.com. Again, that promo code is RCNoobAP10. When you enter that promo code at checkout, you save 10% off your order. And Proline has a number of new items that they've rolled out just at the end of May. Some new bodies, some new Ford F-150 Raptor bodies for monster trucks. There is a new Ford Bronco body for scalers. They have a number of new tires for a variety of vehicles, short course, scalers, you name it, they've got tires for it. So go ahead and check out ProLineRacing.com to see what they have in store and how they can help you upgrade your ride. And thank you to ProLine Racing for supporting the RC Noob podcast. So with that, we're going to wrap up this episode. Thank you all for listening. If you've been listening since episode one, I thank you very, very much for sticking with us and being part of the show for this ride. It's been a fun ride, and it's been an amazing ride, and it's not over yet. So as I'd mentioned earlier during my discussion with Tim, I have some unique guests, some interesting guests that I'm really looking forward to talking to and sharing their stories and sharing their thoughts on the RC hobby. So those are all coming up. If this has been your first time listening to the show, welcome. And I hope you become a subscriber from this point on. If you want to, you can subscribe to the show in iTunes, in Google Play's Music Store, or in your favorite podcasting app. Just simply do a search for the RC Noob podcast. So until next time, this has been Tim. Keep those batteries charged up and keep that nitro topped off. And we will talk to you next time.